This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Why are so many of us so sore, so stiff, and constantly adjusting our chairs by 3 p.m. in the afternoon? I know I blame age. Maybe it's the mattress. Maybe we're sleeping funny. Maybe it's the gym. But what if it's how we're living and maybe sitting every single day? Well, in studio with me is myotherapist, Stephen Allen. He works with everyday clients across Melbourne, elite athletes, including the Melbourne Football Club and the Sydney Swans. And he's also a treasurer in injury management with the Melbourne Chargers. Stephen, welcome to Drive.
Yeah, thanks, Warren.
It's great to have you here. Now, back pain. Let's talk about it in general. We're at work. We're at our desks. You're probably looking at me now going, you're slouching. I know I am.
No comment. I wasn't going to say anything because no one else can see you slouching.
But you can describe it. What's the most common mistake you're seeing in what people are doing?
Oh, look, that's actually a really good question, because it can be so many different things that can bring about the back pain. It could be the way that people are sitting at their desks. It could be, you know, a lack of movement, too much movement.
Too much.
In some cases as well, lack of flexibility. Like there's a lot. And I think a lot of it does come down to, for me, posture.
Ah, okay.
Posture is a really big one. And whether that be low back, whether that be upper back going through the thoracic, the shoulders, even through the cervical spine into the neck, like all that is just, well, I'm not going to say it's a cause for disaster, but it's a potential cause for, you know, just discomfort.
So we start with good posture. Are you up for a bit of an experiment? We've got people listening in their cars at the moment. I'm sitting in this terrible chair. What's the best way to describe, how should we be sitting?
Look, basically, well, upright. Uh-huh. Upright as much as you possibly can, as well as having good lumbar support, so really good support through your low back.
Yep.
And these days, a lot of chairs and a lot of cars do have, you know, the opportunity or the function to set some support up through the low back.
Oh, yes, they do too.
Or you can even go to Big W and buy, I think they've got it, it's called a back seat support or something like that you can put in your car, or you can take it out and use it at your desk.
Is there a way that we can tell, like without you looking at us, if we've got bad posture? Is there a way that we can tell ourselves?
Well, towards the end of the day, like if someone is
like this.
Yeah. Well, pretty much, if you start to melt into your chair at some point during the day, you already know that you're tired, your body's tired, your muscles aren't giving the support that your back is looking for. And you find that you're probably getting a lot closer to your screen and your keyboard than you were at the start of the day.
That's so true. I always think it's my eyes, but it's not. It's my posture.
So you're getting blinder and blinder as the day goes on.
Exactly. What are the early warning signs in terms of feelings or symptoms that we might get if we think, you know what, this is progressing to something a little bit worse?
Yeah, well, a lot of feelings can start from just a twitch or a twinge going through, you know, any part of your back, which is most likely going to be your low back or up through the shoulders and the neck. And then that's where it starts to usually progress from there.
For those of us who work from home, we've got, you know, kitchen tables, we've got couches, laptops on laps. What's the biggest risk you reckon you see with people who work from home?
All of the above.
Okay.
Look, the biggest risks is not having a setup at home that you would normally have in the office. And having a lot of clients that do work from home, you know, I do make the recommendations that they go to Officeworks or somewhere, and this is not a plug, by the way, that they do go to Officeworks or something and get a desk, like a stand-up desk, or get ergonomic chairs. Get someone in to come and fit you into the chair. So like an occupational therapist or someone who specializes in that sort of setup, so they can get your home the same setup as, or a similar setup as what you'd have at work.
What about footstools?
Look, footstools work really well, but nothing really beats standing.
Really?
So when you think about standing and sitting, so when you're sitting, a lot of your, like your hip flexors, your low back, everything is they're always working, they're always on, mm-hmm. they're active. So when you go to stand up, then everything starts to feel really tight and you get like a bit of a cascade from that. So nothing beats standing.
So even if we're at our desk for a few hours a day, it's still healthier to stand.
100%. Like nowadays you've got your Apple Watch.
We're just standing up, yes.
Yeah. So you've got...
It does feel lighter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a massive difference. Because now that you've also got an Apple Watch that can tell you to stand up every hour.
Ah.
But that's always not the most effective thing to do. So at the moment I'm telling a lot of people to go and... get an alarm clock and put it on the opposite side of the room, and you make it really loud and really annoying, so you have to get off your chair and turn it off.
So we should stand every hour. I thought that was just an annoying sort of Apple thing on my watch.
No, it was annoying before it was Apple. but now you've actually got, you're now being told off pretty much. You're being judged for not standing.
And if we do have to sit and we can't stand at our desks, how long should we stand for if it is once an hour? Should we go for a walk, or is it okay sort of stand and just sort of jiggle for a few minutes? What's the best thing to do?
Standing and jiggling works.
Does it?
Yep. Because when you think you stand up, you're actually then, if you're jiggling, as I'm jiggling in my chair, you're then, allowing movement and everything to all, fluidity or yep. movement back into your back, to your joints, into your muscle.
That's amazing. So these simple tricks are things that we can do at home that will prevent further back injury.
Yeah.
What about when it comes to elite sport athletes that you work with as well? Do they suffer the same sort of things that we do? I mean, obviously there's sporting injuries.
Oh, 100%. But a lot of what their back pain is due to, predominantly impact or depending on the sport, it's still posture as well. So there are certain sports like, I'll say hockey. Hockey, for example, you're not standing upright when you're playing. Similar to ice hockey is the same. You kind of got that, slightly hunched posture,
right?
Moving at speed. So that in itself can be pretty much the same.
We're chatting with myotherapist Stephen Allen about how to avoid and manage back pain, whether we're at our desk or maybe working from home or dealing with kids. Now, I want to talk about kids that are presenting with back pain. That's quite alarming. What do you reckon is driving that?
Again, a lot of time seated, a lot of time, a lot of screen time. So when you think about a lot of devices these days, when we're saying, oh, you need to look at your screen straight ahead, you shouldn't be tilting your head down. Well, you look pretty funny holding an iPhone or Sam or whatever in front of your face while trying to look directly at it while keeping, your neck in a safe and secure posture.
But that's what I do. I hold my iPhone out in front rather than down.
Yep, and that's a really good spot for it.
So that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, because you're not then overstraining your posterior neck muscles, so your upper the upper traps and that goes through there.
Are you seeing the impact of people looking down at their phones?
Big time. And I don't know if anyone else uses this out there in the world, but I call it tech neck. Tech neck.
Because if you drive past any, platform at a train station or anywhere, bus stop, and you just see everyone is looking down, I'm thinking, what is this going to do to us,
yep.
evolutionary-wise?
And there's always been the case of, as you get taller, you start – well, not taller. As you get older, you do start to shrink a little bit because your discs in a little bit start to compress. But when you're making it happen, like you're mechanically making that change happen at a young age, and that's going to lead to a lot of health issues further down the line or at this point in time as well.
So I'm going to get shorter. Can we stretch ourselves?
Of course you can. When you stretch through the low back, you stretch through your quads and your hip flexors. There's neck stretches you can do as well. Even just tilting your head to the side, forward, back, all that stuff works.
What if we wake up tomorrow and we're sore? There's nothing worse than waking up in the morning with back pain and then having to sort of put your hands on the floor to try and get out of bed and crawl out of bed. What should we do then? If it, sometimes it just creeps in.
Yeah, and that's also, that can be a cause of or a case of mattress or pillow, depending on, how old your mattress is.
Yep.
Is it the right support for you? Like, is it time to get a new one? Have you had it for 10 years? If the answer is yes, it needs to go.
Get rid of it. What about pillows?
Pillows are the same. Like, you're looking for something that supports you no matter what position you sleep in. And everyone does sleep in a different position. You know, you've got your side sleepers, your back sleepers, your stomach sleepers.
Mm.
And all that makes a difference to how your back is going to feel later down the line. So if you've got a, if you're a side sleeper, having a pillow that, you know, you can, your head will sink into, but you'll have a support for your neck, that's going to be great. Like for me at home, I've got a memory foam pillow, but I don't have one of the ones that are already pre-shaped. I have just a regular pillow. It looks like a regular pillow.
Right.
So it shapes to my neck.
Ah, that's interesting, because I bought one. It was quite expensive, and I sort of looked at the price and thought, oh, no, I'm sure it's the right thing to do. And it was a particular shape. I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah.
And it's a particular shape for a side sleeper. Have I been ripped off? Yes.
Well, no, not necessarily. Do you find it effective?
No more effective than my standard pillow.
Yeah, then you've been ripped off. So.
I knew I would have. So if finishing up, what would be the one thing you would say if we need to, if we've got back pain, what does a myotherapist do?
Okay, so, well, that's an amazing question, because we do a lot. So a myotherapist manages and treats musculoskeletal conditions or injuries, so muscle and bone, essentially. So we'll, after going through an assessment, we will then determine what the appropriate course of treatment would be, which we discuss with the patient, because everything is about consent. So, and making everyone aware of what's going to happen along the line.
Right.
And then we will determine what techniques we would use. So that could be massage, it could be cupping, it could be dry needling, exercise, joint mobilization, lifestyle modifications, so like change of pillow.
And what's the difference between, say, that and going and seeing a physiotherapist or a masseur? What's, like, where, how do you, because one of the things that I struggle with is when do you assess which profession to go and see? Like, when do you?
Well, for me, my massage therapist friends will probably kill me for this. I would tend to recommend, obviously, a myo or a physio, because a physio and a myo, we do the same orthopedic testing, we do the same assessments,
right,
and our treatments may vary, but we're still going to go through the same process in order to get you to achieve your goals.
Fantastic. And then a massage therapist after that.
Yes.
Fantastic. Stephen, I feel like I'm sitting up a bit straighter, probably 2 inches taller than what I was.
You do look a bit taller.
Before you walked into the studio. Really good to chat with you. How are the Melbourne Chargers going?
Oh, great. Look, we've started pre-season, which is every Tuesday, Thursday night at Gardner Park in Glen Iris at the moment. Massive turnouts. We're getting like 60 to 70 plus people, which is amazing. And our recruitment this year has just been exceptional. We've had, I think, 130 inquiries.
Amazing. Can people still come along, or have they missed the boat for this?
Oh, no. People are more than welcome to come along, and they can do so to find out more information just by jumping on to our socials. So our Instagram at Melbourne Chargers, or even our website, melbournechargers.org.
And you throw the ball forward, don't you? Not backwards. No, you throw it backwards.
We throw it backwards.
Because I threw it forward when I went along.
Yeah, you throw it forwards, you get to give the ball to the other team. So
that's what I was doing. That's why they didn't want me back. No, thank you. Good to chat with you, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was myotherapist Stephen Allen, who also works in injury management with the Melbourne Chargers. Head along to one of their days. You might find that you enjoy playing it.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.